Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today, I have my sometimes co-host, John Papa. John, how are you?
Very well over here, Jesse. How are you doing?
Good, good. How's life in Florida?
Very sunny and balmy.
Well, fortunately, I can say the same about life here in Massachusetts, which half the year I can't.
Oh, is today summer?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Don't like the weather here? Just wait a minute. Also, today I'm really blasted to have Paul Betts. He's a developer at GitHub. He's my co-author on a book that I still don't understand, and he's going to help me understand today. And he's also a buddy. Paul, how are you?
I'm great. Glad to be on the show.
I'm really glad to have you here. You and I wrote a book on reactive UI and Link.
Yeah, the reactive extensions for .NET. Yeah,
exactly. And I think 9 people have read the book. And one of them was me, and I wrote it to try to understand reactive extensions. I failed, but I still think it's a good book. And you were involved in the release of Reactive UI 6 on July 10th. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that's right. So it took Reactive UI put out a new major release recently. Finally, I worked on it for 8 months or so. So Reactive UI always follows the SEMVer rules of semantic versioning. So it has a perhaps artificially high version number, but that version number kind of helps you out because it tells you when they're breaking changes, so you know when to not upgrade or what you're in store for. Yeah, so I finally got it out the door, which is exciting.
So do you have an elevator speech on what Reactive UI is at this point?
So the idea is that Reactive UI is one of the two ways that you can that supports cross-platform MVVM, or the two big libraries. The other one being MVVM Cross. I mean, the other major one. There's also Laurent's MVVM Lite is starting to come to other platforms too, which is really exciting. But so far, Reactive UI, the idea of it is that it brings together the reactive extensions with user interfaces, so like desktop and mobile apps. And it helps you to, the thing that's really good at is coordinating when you have these complicated user interfaces where things are very related to each other. Things are sliding in and out, like you hit, you know, open dialogues and stuff like that. They've got to gray out buttons and stuff like that. Reactive UI is really good at telling how those things are related, even though those things are related in an asynchronous way.
I think I follow that. So reactive extensions, as I remember, had a lot to do with asynchronicity and about what I think of as promises and collections that were going to be filled, but not at the time of their declaration. Now, I know I'm mangling it, but so help sort that out for me.
Sure. So the idea is that the core idea of the reactive extensions is that you have a list, right? You have some stuff in a particular order. In .NET, we model that as IEnumerable. And so you look at lists is some stuff in order, and then we have these operators that can do stuff to lists, like select and where and aggregate and select many. And that lets us take a simple list or a boring list and then turn it into a list of something we're interested in, right? And so Reactive Extensions realizes that an event is kind of like a list too, because it's also some stuff in order, right? So if I have a key up event, it's going to say H-E-L-L-O. Now that's some stuff in order, right? You're having data coming in as a stream instead of a list, but a list and a stream are really similar. And so if you can do all this stuff to lists like selects and wheres, you should be able to do all those same things to events too. And in fact, you can prove that you can do the same things to events as lists. And so basically Rx makes it so that an event is just what you would call a first class type. So it's just a variable. You can assign an event and I can take simple events and combine them together to make more interesting events, just like I can take simple lists and combine them together to make more interesting lists with Link.
Okay, and that's Reactive Extensions. Reactive UI takes that idea and extends it into the UI and now goes beyond .NET and is available for Xamarin as well.
Yeah, exactly. So for example, in one of the big classes in Reactive UI is a reactive command. So it's a command that's also an iObservable, because it's signaled when the command is executed. And you describe when the command can execute not as a function of that returns a Boolean, but as an iObservable of Boolean, so like a stream of Booleans. And that stream is usually provided from a property change event. So one of the events that Reactive UI is really good at creating is property change notifications. So you can say, like, whenever this property changes, tell me the latest value. And then pipe that into the can execute of this OK button. Right? So the OK button can only be enabled when the name, first name and last name are non-zero or like filled in.
At the end there, you just made a little bit clearer in my mind where the big benefit is that it can be dependent on multiple events.
Exactly. Exactly.
So if you're using that though for some kind of a command, for example, you know, instead of relay command or delegate command, I assume it's a reactive command. Mm-hmm. Is that right? So if you're doing that, what's the difference between using that and using relay command or delegate command?
Difference is that you can combine commands together, for example. So because a command is just an observable, I can say when the command fires dot where something something dot select something something, tell me when that happens. You can say like when any of these three commands fire, then do something. It makes commanding from the special type that can do exactly one thing into just another event. Right, just like any other event, and we're really good at combining the other events.
Okay, so it's going to simplify. It's not going to replace the command so much. It's going to augment the things that you can do with the command.
It changes how you use it. Mm-hmm. And one thing that the reactive command is good at is asynchronous events. So oftentimes, when you fire a command, you do something in the background, right? You immediately launch some task. And traditional ICommand kind of loses, I mean, it's a void method, right? So it loses you can't await it. You can't find out the result of what happened. You just like fire off this method and then later you have to like wire up the result. So one thing that reactive command has is execute async. And so execute async fires the command. It runs the thing, a method that you've provided in the background. While that method's running, the button's disabled. The command's disabled, you can't fire it again. And it comes back with a result. So it makes it really easy to test commands that are wired up to asynchronous operations.
Cool. Does it go further as well to actually implement some of the UI features where you could like put a spinner onto a button?
It makes it really easy to do that. So you can take the can execute observable and bind that to the spinner visibility really in like one line.
So right, or disable a button or grayed out and then show a spinner on there.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, at Evolve, you're going to be speaking about a couple things, and one of them, I understand, is the difference between using the await keyword and using reactive.
Can you
talk a little bit about what those differences are and where the advantages are?
Sure. So the talk I'll be giving it at Xamarin Evolve is really about like how to win one kind of way of thinking is better than the other and how you can combine them both. So one of the things that a lot of people don't know is that you can await iObservables, which is really useful because then you can take task-based methods and convert them to iObservables and then await them. So for example, one method in reactive extensions is called timeout. So it's an operator that operates on any event. You can take any task-based async await method and say dot timeout and then await that. And so it means that you can add features like timeouts and catches and retries to existing code really easily and await it and still kind of think in the async await way. And then there's other times where async await kind of isn't really appropriate. Like, for example, you see in sometimes when people try to bolt async await onto user interfaces, they'll say, like, I can await a button. And then they'll like have like while one await. And then they'll have all these like infinite loops everywhere. That's kind of a hint that like RX is much better at those kind of things. So it's really like a talk about how to combine them together, how to use them both, how to switch between one and the other, and what async await is good at and what RX is good at.
So do you have a separate command for both synchronous and asynchronous events then?
No, so a synchronous command in Reactive UI is an asynchronous command who immediately returns.
Okay.
Which is a little weird, but it ends up not being inefficient. It's just same result.
But it's at least that way you've got one API to work with.
Yeah, so you can, there's all kinds of different, the way you create a command is you provide it. It's a there's all kinds of different overloads of this static method called create, where you can say, like, I'm creating with a task-based method, I'm creating with an observable-based method, I just want to create a dummy one that has no asynchronous backing to it. There's all kinds of options.
So this sounds like it's something that's really built for and around MVVM-based frameworks. Is that correct?
Yeah, so it is an MVVM framework. It provides, like, a iNotify property change object, provides a command, provides like things like message bus, kind of all the basics. But it does it in a reactive extensions-y way.
So, you know, over the years, working with many of these different MVStar-based frameworks, there's different flavors. You know, there's the kinds that are like the old archaic CAB, the predecessor to Prism, which I'm not sure if you worked with, but that was the, you must use everything that we have or else, you know, you're going to be shot and shoved off the plank on the ship. Or there was the MVVM-like kind, like Laurent Bignon has, where it's, you know, here's a series of tools that you can pick and choose what you want to use from. And then there's the things in between, like Calibre and Micro. It's got that, you know, convention of a configuration. Where does reactive fall into that?
Yeah, so I kind of look at it as like MVVM Lite is very simple, like by design. It's not trying to do everything for you, right? And Calibre and Micro is kind of the opposite. Like, tries to do a lot of stuff for you, and it's a lot bigger. Like, even the Calibre project before that, it was huge, right? It's like a sprawling metropolis of code. And MVVM Cross is also similar to kind of the Calibre approach. Like, they have everything in the kitchen sink. And so Reactive UI kind of falls in the middle. It does a little bit more than MVVM Lite, but it tries to realize what it's good at and what it's not good at. And so one thing that's important, that's cool about Reactive UI, is that you can combine it with other MVVM frameworks. You don't have to buy into it for everything. So you can use a lot of the cool methods with MVVM ViewModel objects.
Now, what if you wanted to mix and match with things like MVVM Lite? I assume you could use pieces of that and pieces of this together?
Exactly. So you can use a Calibre and Micro view model and then use Reactive UI methods will bolt onto it. And at runtime, it figures out, it's like, oh, this is the iNotify property change. Oh, this is a reactive object. Oh, this is it'll even do Cocoa key value observing. So it'll be able to listen to changes in Cocoa objects. Native Cocoa objects too.
Now, let's say you were just using Reactive UI without any of those other frameworks or tool sets. If you wanted to just go that route, does it also help you with things like Service Locator to marry the view to the view model?
It does. My opinion on Service Locator is a lot less involved. It uses this very small library called Splat. It provides a common interface for a lot of cross-platform things like bitmap loading. And one of the things it does is a service locator. And its service locator is a page of code, the entire implementation.
Right.
It's very, very simple. And I think that for mobile applications, I think that's a better approach. A lot of people try to bolt things like Ninject into their phone application, and they were very much built for web applications.
Yeah, I've seen too many MVVM apps in the years gone by where Unity and Ninject were using these. And yeah, I had a chat with Laurent Bignon a couple of years ago, back when Silverlight heydays, and we were talking about this, and that's one of the reasons he went down the simple locator paradigm, because it's like, you know, you really shouldn't have an overly complicated set of code if you don't need it. And this doesn't just apply to MVVM, but applies to anything you do. Why cook the whole world when all you need is this one piece? You know, it's that whole Gagne approach, you ain't going to need it. So I agree, especially in the mobile world, you want to keep these things tight and trim.
Yeah, a lot of them were designed around like resolution speed, like being able to resolve a dependency really quickly, but they didn't care about startup time at all. And so they would allocate 30 MB.
Yeah, and on a mobile application, you're not building an app that's got 1,000 screens either. At least I hope you're not. So,
yeah.
So, Paul, you've been involved with Reactive for quite a long time, but now I see you all over Xamarin and very much a presence in the Xamarin community. Is this a related interest, or was it just another interest area of yours?
One of the things that I've been doing a lot lately is that I keep running into really cool platform-specific libraries, especially in Android. So there's a developer named Jake Wharton. He works at Square, and he's like the Kanye West of Android library authors. Very prolific. It does an amazing job. Writes all these really interesting libraries that only work on Android, And so I've been walking along and blatantly copying all of his work and some other people's, but bringing them to Xamarin and making them cross-platform so they run everywhere. I'm in a room with a very old clock that I can't turn off.
By all rights, I should cut that, but that's just too good.
So I've been writing a lot of these libraries. One of the most popular ones is called Modern HTTP Client. It is a HTTP client handler, which is this obscure feature of HTTP client that lets you replace the guts of it, basically, with however you want. And so what it does is it replaces it with the fastest platform-specific library I can find. So on iOS, this is NSURL session. And on Android, there's a library called OKHTTP. And so the advantage of it is that it's really good at having a bunch of requests in flight. So if you issue like 10 requests using the default HTTP client on Xamarin, you'll kind of grind to a halt. Using NSURL session, you'll be fine. And it's really good at cancellation. One thing that's really important on mobile devices is that as soon as some requests go out that you don't want anymore, say like the user clicks on a new page, you want to cancel them as soon as possible. And making sure that you don't download, you know, 1 byte extra than you have to is really important. So Modern HTTP Client is really good at it.
You've also been, I believe, involved with Xamarin Forms from early days of, well, still I would say early days, but from very early days of Xamarin Forms. Are you as excited as I am about Xamarin Forms and the ability to write to a single abstraction that then gets translated into native code?
Yeah, I think that's a really cool idea, and it's turning out in a way that I didn't think it would be super interesting when I first heard of it, to be honest. I thought that it was going to be the next, like, GTK Sharp or, like, you know, Qt. But I was totally wrong. It's actually really cool technology because, so one of the things you can do is that you don't have to use it for every page. You can take over, like, you know, maybe the main page in your application is platform specific because it's really uses some really interesting platform features, but the login dialog probably isn't platform specific. It's pretty boring. Like it's just going to have some, you know, text fields and some and a button, right? So being able to implement that once is really cool. And the other cool thing is that you can at any time you can get the native underlying control that's backing that button or that text box and interact with it on a platform specific way. Which makes it turns it into this really interesting thing because you can move really quickly, but then when you need to have something look native or act more native or do, you know, specific customizations, you can totally do it, which is really cool.